Hello, this is Mary, and I'll be reading selections from the Pantograph from Monday, April 20th, 2026. From the front page, McLean County severe weather. Storm spawns 5 tornadoes. Weather Service confirms touchdowns as officials declare emergency. By Scott Perry and D. Jack Elkery. Bloomington. A survey of storm damage identified 5 tornadoes Friday night in McLean County, the National Weather Service reported. Day 1 of storm surveying is in the books and concentrated on McLean County, the Weather Service said Saturday evening in a Facebook post. While additional work is needed in other counties, we can identify 5 tornadoes. All of the McLean County tornadoes were classified as EF1, with peak wind gusts ranging from 90 to 110 miles per hour. No deaths or injuries were reported. One of the tornadoes touched down near Funk's Grove and was on the ground for 33 minutes, from 8:54 to 9:27 p.m., as it traveled 33.8 miles to Ellsworth and dissipated at the McLean County line along East 1700 North Road. Along the way, the 100-mile-per-hour winds damaged homes and numerous trees, which was consistent with the damage associated with the other tornadoes that touched down in the county. In Normal, Rivian's R2 manufacturing center was damaged. A spokesperson from Rivian told the Pantograph in an email that they were still assessing damages. There was also a report of a semi-truck being blown over on Interstate 55, the Weather Service said. Elizabeth Johnston, chairperson from the McLean County Board, said that after the storm there were 21,000 customers without power across the county. As of 1:30 p.m. Sunday, there were 440 Ameren customers without power and just 30 customers with Corn Belt Electric. Other tornadoes identified by the National Weather Service were Normal to Towanda, 8:57 to 9:06, with a peak wind of 110 miles per hour. It was on the ground for 10.3 miles. Bloomington 2, 9 to 9:04 p.m. from the Bloomington Country Club to the intersection of Fort Jesse Road and Towanda Barnes Road. It had a peak wind speed of 110 miles per hour. It was on the ground for 4.1 miles. Bloomington 1, 8:57 to 8:58 p.m. from South Veterans Parkway near Hamilton Road to Highland Park Golf Course. It had a peak wind of 100 miles per hour. It was on the ground for 1.3 miles. McLean Livingston, 9:17 to 9:27 p.m. from Northeast McLean County to far southwest Livingston County. It had a peak wind speed of 90 miles per hour and was on the ground for 7.9 miles. Elected officials within McLean County, the Town of Normal, and the City of Bloomington signed an emergency declaration Saturday and have asked residents to document any damage from the storms by taking photos prior to any cleanup efforts. Part of the reason that we want to document the damage is if there is a widespread damage to a specific amount, it does create eligibility for different levels of either low-interest loans or funding from different levels of government to assist the recovery of the community, said Johnston. Johnston was joined by Normal Mayor Chris Coos and Bloomington Mayor Dan Brady, as well as the heads of emergency response departments in the Twin Cities at a news conference Saturday afternoon to discuss the storm. Residents are asked to visit any of the 3 government websites, city-blm.org, normalil.gov, or McLeanCountyIL.gov, and click on the QR code to submit their documentation of damages. If you cannot access the QR code for the link, please contact a non-emergency number and then report your damages to City Hall on Monday, Johnston said. Brady's office has been in touch with J.B. Pritzker's office, the Bloomington mayor said. The state is prepared to offer any other resource that we find as the days continue to go on here, that there might be something we need from equipment to anything else that the state may be able to provide is on the municipality levels and the county level, Brady said. So we welcome any and all help and support. The mayors and Johnston credited first responders for making sure that the residents were safe. We are incredibly proud of our first responders, their level of training, their level of dedication, and their ability to respond immediately to situations and tragedies like this that happened in our community, Coos said. So they are the ones that deserve credit today. Brady said every agency, from the police department checking on individuals to public works to engineering, it's a joint level and every level of government. I think this is what people not only expect from their government, but deserve from their government. The safety of citizens is government's main goal following a storm like this, Johnston said. The property damage can be fixed, can be replaced, but keeping the people safe is top priority. And I thank first responders for their service, she said. Best practice for a storm like Friday's is to be prepared and have a plan, said Kathy Beck, director of McLean County Emergency Management Agencies. Have a safety spot. Know you have a family plan. You need to have multiple ways to receive alerts, she said. You can't always count on the sirens. Yes, we sound them, but if it's a pop-up storm, and they happen so fast, it takes a few seconds to sound the siren, and tornadoes are faster than seconds. People living in mobile homes need to be especially prepared, Beck said. You need to have a backup plan. The mobile home parks here do not have good storm shelters, she said. A good shelter needs proper supplies as well. The guidelines are to have enough supplies, water, food, medications for your family, including pets, for 72 hours, Beck said. That's how long it may take first responders to get to your aid in a widespread disaster. Other things to include are backup batteries or independent phone chargers, as well as virtual copies of vital documents, she said. If you don't have that stuff, it's really hard to recreate it afterward. That includes your driver's license, your insurance cards. You need to have copies of everything. Also from the front page, Normal Town Council to vote on TIF project plan. Measures would create, amend tax increment financing districts by Matus Janik. Normal. A series of measures that would create a new tax increment financing district and a $61.8 million uptown redevelopment plan will be voted on the town council on Monday, that's today. The items, which were tabled during the council's April 6th meeting, include amending the existing downtown TIF district, approving a redevelopment plan, designating a new project area, and adopting the new Uptown Normal TIF. According to town documents, town staff said the proposed Uptown North TIF would encourage redevelopment of underutilized parcels by resetting the existing TIF timeline for certain properties and allowing them to benefit from a new district. The plan would remove 29 parcels from the current downtown TIF, including both Trail East and West parking lots, which flank Constitution Boulevard on the north side of Uptown Circle. The Ecology Action Center, Normal Public Library, and vacant Busey Bank and Commerce Bank buildings, all at the intersection of College and Broadway Avenues, as well as several parking areas near the water treatment plant. The parcels would then be incorporated into Uptown North TIF, which would cover around 24 acres, including streets rights of way, or 8 acres not including rights of way, and 31 parcels of real property, generally located north of Uptown Circle along Constitution Boulevard, north to Mulberry Street. This area includes vacant buildings and almost 3 acres of parking that is considered prime for redevelopment, according to town documents. The plan also cites aging infrastructure and deteriorating conditions as factors for qualifying the area for state approval of the redevelopment financing tool. A TIF district diverts a portion of property taxes in the designated area into a fund to pay for redevelopment. When a TIF district is established, taxing bodies continue to receive their pre-TIF property taxes, but additional tax revenue generated by rising property value goes into the TIF fund. The TIF district doesn't reduce a property's tax bill, but instead changes where that money goes. The original downtown TIF was established in 2003 and originally set to expire in 2026, but state lawmakers approved a 12-year extension for the underdeveloped portion of the district in 2018 to push the expiration to 2038. The proposed Uptown North TIF is intended to replace the current TIF and overlap certain areas because the current extension to 2038 is considered too short to secure funding for major projects such as the Trail East and West developments. The clock would reset again and provide a full 23-year lifespan for the new TIF. The redevelopment plan, which was prepared by St. Louis-based consultant PGAV, outlines goals for improving infrastructure, addressing blight or unsafe conditions, to attract private developers and grow the local tax base. The plan is fairly high level and would be phased through a market-driven approach that would look at fixing or replacing key infrastructure issues like streets, sidewalks, and utilities that may act as barriers for private development. The current total taxable value for the area is around $2.67 million and is projected to grow to more than $37 million with the redevelopment. In other business, the council will vote on $1,338,191 in water main improvements along Linden Street from Jersey Avenue to the south corporate limits of the town. According to town documents, this area is served by a 6-inch water main, with some areas that are difficult to access, including a main running through a side yard easement. The line has also been the source of some quality concerns in the past. This water main will be replaced with a 8-inch ductile iron water main with new valves, fire hydrants, and water services. Town staff recommends awarding the contract bid to George Gildner, Inc. of Bloomington, who was the lowest bidder, but the total amount came out to $118,191 over the $1,220,000 allotted by the Water Department. A budget adjustment from the Water Funds reserves will be required to complete the project, which is anticipated to begin in May and be completed by late fall. Additionally, the council will vote on sump pump discharge and storm sewer improvements to address drainage concerns throughout the town. Sump pumps that outlet into streets and sidewalks cause icing concerns and moisture-related pavement deterioration. The work would involve installing 6 to 10-inch diameter pipes in public rights of way to intercept sump pump and storm water discharges that currently drain toward the street or into yard areas where storm sewers do not exist. The location selected for improvement will be based on severity and safety concerns, funding, physical constraints, and citizen reports and concerns, according to town documents. Areas scheduled for street repair will also be prioritized to alleviate drainage concerns before street resurfacing. If approved by the council, the total cost would be $275,154 to Stark Excavating of Bloomington. Work is expected to begin this month and continue throughout the fiscal year as project and repair locations are assigned. The council will also vote on the following items: purchase a modular playground unit and rubber surfacing from Cunningham Recreation at Rosa Parks Commons for $179,629. Purchase equipment from National Fitness Campaign at or around Rosa Park Commons for $199,750. Authorizing a 3-year agreement with Gateway Firework Displays of St. Louis for a total of $125,000 for the annual 4th of July fireworks display. Approving a professional services agreement with Marsh McLennan Agency for $45,600 per year or $3,800 monthly for insurance broker services. Approve a contract with Surf Prep, Inc. to resurface the apparatus bay for the Normal Fire Department headquarters for $63,000. Approve the Bramble House subdivision at 300 West Willow, final play by expedited process. Appoint a new member to the Bloomington Normal Ashikawa Sister Cities Committee to fill a vacancy for a 3-year term that ends on March 31st, 2029. The council meets at 7 p.m. on Monday on the fourth floor of Uptown Station. Council meetings are also live streamed on the town's YouTube channel. Turning to page 2, today's flick fact. Today's question: if at a baseball game at Jack Hornberger Stadium on the campus of Illinois Wesleyan University and the batter hits the ball over the left field fence, what is downright amazing about that simple play? Maybe not replicated anywhere else in America. Today's answer: the ball has crossed over two cities. At the IWU field, left field is in Bloomington, but once over the fence, it's in Normal. How time flies. 100 years ago, April 20th, 1926, failure of the public to take cognizance of the no parking signs on East Street between Washington and Jefferson Streets, the space on the west side of that thoroughfare having been set aside for a motor bus stand, will likely force the buses to change their station. Negotiations are underway with the Illinois Traction System to let bus patrons wait in the Madison Street Depot. 75 years ago, April 20th, 1951. According to a local contractor, ISNU's Old Main can be restored for about $1 million, Julius Clem reported to the McLean County Men Alumni of Illinois State Normal University. Mr. Clem is chairman of the committee to restore Old Main. 50 years ago, April 20th, 1976. A Bloomington developer has proposed a $3.1 to $4.1 million building for retail shops, offices, and apartments for downtown urban renewal property. Richard Hundman was the only person to bid for two vacant parcels west of the McLean County Law and Justice Center. 25 years ago, April 20th, 2001. Kathy Willerton always knew when someone drove over the Camelback Bridge. From her house at the corner of Hillcrest and Virginia Avenue, she could hear the infamous thunder. About a year and a half ago, when the bridge was closed for safety reasons, that sound was replaced by silence. But on April 19th, the noise returned in the form of cracking timber and the clanging of a backhoe and crane. "It's sad," said Willerton, as she watched crews from Bloomington Stark Excavating tear down the 95-year-old bridge. "The best alternative would have been to make it a footbridge and leave it alone." Instead, 3 years ago, the Normal City Council voted to rebuild the structure while trying to maintain its historic King Post trusses and Phoenix columns. Turning to page 3, local news. Council to weigh battery storage by Matus Janik. The Normal Town Council on Monday, today, will consider whether to bring drafting new zoning regulations for battery energy storage systems, which has become increasingly important to the power grid locally and across the state. This would formally initiate a zoning text amendment, sending the proposal to the Planning Commission for public hearings, potentially starting June 4th, before returning to the Council for final consideration later in June. According to town staff, the move comes as interest in battery storage facilities grows locally and nationwide. Battery energy storage systems, BESS, are currently made up of large container-sized units that store electricity for later use. They can service individual properties with on-site solar power or support the broader electric grid by storing excess energy and releasing it during periods of high demand. Normal has no zoning regulations specific to BESS, and the proposed amendment would establish where and when how such facilities could be drawn. Projects would also need to comply with the National Fire Protection Association safety standards and submit decommissioning plans. Town staff does not recommend allowing systems in public or institutional zoning districts at this time, citing concerns with their proximity to residential areas. According to Down documents, the storage systems are seen as a growing necessity and potential cause of concern for nearby residents. Statewide, the Clean and Reliable Grid Affordability Act, which takes effect June 1st, established baseline requirements for larger battery systems in unincorporated areas, including setbacks, fencing, and safety compliance. The legislation was signed earlier this year by Governor Pritzker and grants greater authority to state utility regulators, creates new options for virtual power plants, and lifts a long-time ban on new large-scale nuclear power plants. While municipalities like Normal retain zoning authority within their boundaries, the new law reflects broader efforts to standardize how renewable energy and storage projects are sited across the state. The town's proposal mirrors some aspect of how nearby Bloomington handles battery storage under existing utility regulations, though Normal's draft includes more specific standards and restrictions. The McLean County Board approved a new solar energy facility on Thursday around Cooksville that includes a battery storage system located 800 feet from the only residence in the area. The council meets at 7 p.m. tonight on the fourth floor of Uptown Station. Council meetings are also live streamed on the town's YouTube channel. Sports news, ECHL Bison playoffs booked. Matsushima returns in clinching win by Adam Morris for the Pantograph. Bloomington. The Bloomington Bison are headed to the postseason for the first time. The Bison punched their ticket to the ECHL's Kelly Cup playoffs on Saturday night, defeating the Iowa Heartlanders 5-2 before a thundering crowd of 4,584 at Grossinger Motors Arena. The victory secured a playoff berth for the second-year franchise in its regular season finale. Head coach Philip Barsky said the berth reflected more than the results of one game. "This is an organizational accomplishment," he said. Bison captain Eddie Matsushima, who has been with the team since its inception, described the moment as surreal, following a roller coaster of a season defined by roster turnover and injuries. "To win this game, it's an unbelievable feeling," said Matsushima said. Playoff hockey. What? Bloomington Bison playoffs. When? The Bisons will begin their playoffs on the road, but there will be guaranteed games, home games, at Grossinger Motors Arena at 7 p.m. on April 27th. That's next Monday. On Wednesday, April 29th, and possibly on April 30th, that date being dependent on earlier game outcomes. Again, the playoff hockey games home will be at Grossinger Motors Arena, 101 South Madison Street in Bloomington. The tickets are $28 and up. They are available at bloomingtonbisonhockey.com or Ticketmaster, or call the Bison Ticket Office at 309-965-4373, extension 2. The Bison's first-round opponent remains to be determined. The Bison will face either the Fort Wayne Comets or the Toledo Walleye, depending on the outcome of the final regular season game between Kalamazoo and Fort Wayne. Regardless of the opponent, Matsushima noted that the team is preparing for a total reset. Turning to nation and world news in the Monday, April 20th edition of the Pantograph, the Digest. Students among injured in Iowa bar shooting. Iowa City, Iowa. A shooting during a fight in a nightlife district near the University of Iowa campus wounded 5 people early Sunday, including 3 students, police and university officials said. Multiple victims were transported to hospitals for gunshot wounds, according to Iowa City police. One person was in critical condition, while 4 others were stable, police said. No arrests were made as of Sunday morning, according to a campus alert. Police released photos of groups of people who were identified as persons of interest. Videos shared on social media showed multiple fights breaking out in front of an outdoor bar area. UK police investigate anti-Jewish attacks. London. British police said Sunday they are investigating possible Iran attacks to a series of arson attacks on Jewish targets in London, which the UK chief rabbi said showed that a sustained campaign of violence against the Jewish community was gathering momentum. After the latest attack at Kenton United Synagogue in the Harrow area of the city shortly after midnight, the 3rd such incident in a week, UK counterterrorism police said they were heading up investigations into the incidents. A pro-Iranian government group, which says it is also behind a spate of attacks across Europe on U.S., Israeli, and Jewish targets, said it was responsible. Ukraine. Europe must have its own defense system against ballistic weapons, and Ukraine is already holding talks with several countries on its creation, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky said Sunday. Defense against ballistic missiles is one of Ukraine's biggest challenges in the war with Russia, he said. PM Carney. Canada's close ties to the United States were once a strength, but are now a weakness, Prime Minister Mark Carney said Sunday in a video message to his country, in which he praised the heroism of military leaders who fought against the U.S. invasion more than 2 centuries ago. Los Angeles. Federal prosecutors said Shamin Mafi, a 44-year-old Los Angeles woman, was arrested Saturday night at Los Angeles International Airport on suspicion of helping Iran traffic weapons to Sudan. Mafi will face charges that she brokered the sale of drones, bombs, bomb fuses, and millions of rounds of ammunition. Austria. Rat poison was found inside a jar of baby food, Austrian police said late Saturday, after the product, HIP, was removed from 1,500 Spar supermarkets in the country. A statement from police in Burgenland said a sample from a jar of carrot with potato baby food tested positive for rat poison. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph from Monday, April 20th, 2026. Please stay tuned.